Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is September the 12th, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. Coming up in this half hour, we'll take up this morning's NAS and WASDE numbers in detail with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson out of Champaign, Illinois, and Daryl Good of the University of Illinois. Here's the way the numbers came in at 7:30 a.m. Central Time from the USDA this morning. For the current marketing year, the forecast of the U.S. average corn yield now reduced by about 0.6 tenths of a bushel, that to 122.8 bushels nationwide, while the forecast of acreage harvested for grain was unchanged from August. The resulting production forecast from USDA, 10.727 billion bushels. That's just 51.2 million bushels smaller than the August forecast, about 325 million bushels larger than the average trade guess. Compared to the August forecast, the average yield forecast were increased for most southern and eastern states. Forecasts for the Midwestern states were within 2 bushels of the August forecast, with the exception of the 6-bushel decline right here in the state of Illinois. The supply of corn for the 2012-13 marketing year now forecast at 11.983 billion bushels. That's 108 million larger than the August forecast. The projection of feed and residual use for corn was increased by 75 million bushels, reflecting in part the use of new crop corn during the last month of the previous marketing year. For soybeans, USDA lowered the national average by 0.8 of a bushel to a 9-year low of 35.3 bushels to the acre. They left the acreage unchanged. That results in a forecast of 2.634 billion bushels for the nationwide production, down 57.7 million from August, but essentially equal to the average trade guess. Yield forecast were increased for some southern and eastern states, but reduced 4 bushels per an acre for Iowa, 3 bushels in Nebraska, and 2 bushels for Missouri and Ohio. Yield forecast unchanged for Illinois and Indiana. The supply of beans for the 2012-13 marketing year now forecast at 2.785 billion bushels total, 72 million below the August forecast. The small supply will force a cut in consumption of about 587 million bushels, or 15.4% this year, and result in a minimum year-ending stocks of 115 million bushels. More on the USDA numbers in just a few moments.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here with the way the numbers settled up in Chicago. On the closes from the CME Group, September soft red winter wheat at $8.67, up 7 cents. In the July of next year, that's the new crop, a settlement price at $8.67.5, up 3 and 3 quarters. Kansas City hard red at $8.90 for the new crop July. That's the harvest month, up a quarter of a cent from Chicago. September corn futures, $7.69, down 13 and a quarter today. December at 9 cents lower at $7.68.75. These are all closes, but not settlement prices. March at 7.72.5 in the corn pit, 8.75 lower. In the May at 7.71.75, down 6.5 cents. July futures 7.61.5, 5.5 lower. In September at $6.76, down 5.75. Next year's December at 6.50.5, down 4.25. That would be for the 2013 corn crop. Soy complex bean futures, September contract 39.5 cents the gain. Close at 17.36. November bean 17.43.5, up 42. January 17.46, up 45.25, and the March at 16.92.5, up 43.75. May bean $16.03.5, up 36 on its close, and the July at 15.72.75, up 33.25. November soybeans at 13.75, up 28.25. Bean meal futures for the day, $540, up $16.10. Bean oil at 55.91, 60 cents higher on the afternoon. The live cattle futures finished the nearby October at 127.70, up 60. December at 130.70, up 72.5. September feeders at 144.95 were 30 cents higher on the day, and the October feeder cattle at 147.37.5 for 100 pounds, up $1.02. October lean hogs, $73.42.5, up 70. December at 72.35, up 92.5. This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon, September the 12th. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good morning, rather good afternoon to you, Jackie. I was thinking about the morning and how that might have gone for you. What did you find of most interest from the USDA reports at 7:30 today?
Well, I think, you know, the trade itself was pretty shocked by the corn numbers. For me, the most interesting, of course, was the world corn increases, where they actually took the 11-12 and increased it by 3.63 million metric tons. And 2 million metric tons of that came from us because they actually increased our carryout for 11-12. We continue to have that ongoing discussion as to whether new crop corn that's been used actually should be looked at as old crop corn as long as it's used in the current marketing year. But we haven't got them convinced at this point in time yet. So I think just in general, we saw a report that again confirms to producers that a lot of these numbers are in the market. The trade expected us to have higher bean yields. We did not have higher bean yields. Therefore, we had beans down strong the last 2 days. Today, they're up very strong. The corn number that came in, they expected a much lower yield and a lower crop. Well, that didn't happen. And so corn basically, I think what we, if you want to summarize it all, I believe we went looking for the lows, and we found our near-term lows at this point in time, and we'll just work from here to see what happens in the future.
And the national average yield for corn now set at 122.8 by USDA. Production at 10.727 billion bushels. You said trade was not expecting that. Probably the yield number was the big number that they were thinking would be much lower at 120.6 on the average trade guess, and they were down at a 10.4 crop size, but many folks were even lower than that, I think.
Well, that's true, and I think, you know, it's disappointing. You know, the one thing that we have to remember is they don't move quickly. They work out of the same plots. We were way ahead with last month in terms of mature corn. We normally don't have something like that when we look at the August report. And so, you know, they told us we had 1.1 billion bushels of corn already harvested before September 1st this year. That's the highest ever on record. And so when you looked at the ear weight being heavier this time versus last time, I think the thing that threw me a little bit for a loop was the fact that we have less cobs per acre, significantly less cobs per acre on this report compared to last report. But evidently the weight must have made up the difference, and that's why we only lost a little bit on the yield side of the equation. But, you know, the reality comes down, and Dave and I talked about this morning. You know, this has an 8.2% deviation. It happens to be the same for both crops. We could have a 9.847 corn crop. We could have 11.6. We could have a 2.4 billion bushel bean crop. We could have a 2.8. All it says to me is that, again, they don't have a tremendous amount of confidence in exactly where this crop is going to end up, nor do I believe they have a lot of confidence in the acreage number. I think people were disappointed they didn't drop harvested acres. But if it's true what Informa says, that we may have close to 1 million more corn acres and 500,000 more bean acres, why would you move harvested acres at this point in time until you have better numbers?
Right, and they'll have better numbers by the time we get to the October crop production report?
Well, they should have. The FSA numbers, of course, will the majority of them should be reported at that point in time. And it definitely, I mean, I'll be surprised if we see a huge deviation coming off that report, but it just depends. They're definitely getting better every month, let's just put it that way. So, you know, for the next month, I guess we'll probably trade in a range again.
It looks like the soybean crop is going to be really, really tight by the time we get to the end of the marketing year.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, it's really scary. When you saw them drop old crop by 15 million bushels and drop yield by 58, you know, and then have to come in and cut crush and have to come in and cut exports just to hang on to 115 million, it's going to be a battle is what it's going to be as to where the beans go. And then on top of that, see them come in and raise China's imports of beans by 500,000 metric tons. As well as their corn imports by 300,000 metric tons. Those are significant numbers, and so it'll be a battle of the price is what it'll be.
From here, do you see an upward movement for corn and soybeans, or do they diverge in different directions?
I think today what we saw was an awful lot of spreading. We saw a lot of buying of beans and selling of corn because nobody's truly sure. I do think that beans have to move higher, both in old crop and in new crop. We just have not stopped bean exports like we've really. We had the lowest number on corn exports in July since 1993, And so it looks as if the price levels that we had gotten to are working there. But when it comes to the beans, that's not true. So I think beans will support corn. Corn won't fall a lot just because beans have to continue to move forward. But I think the spreading will probably be the key thing that we'll see people do.
Anything in the outside markets that we should make sure we cover today?
Well, I think when you look at the dollar, you know, the dollar is down again significantly today. We're trading below 80, and that came when Moody's announced yesterday, of course, that they may take away our AAA rating. And, you know, that is supportive of selling more commodities. So, you know, we kind of got a double-edged sword working here. At the same time, we've got the Fed coming out. You know, they started their meeting today, and at the end of it, it's highly expected that they're going to do a QE3. And I just don't know if I truly believe that, but I can tell you that the big investors believe it. When you look at crude oil, having traded much higher early this morning, it's been trading higher in London. They've got it in their mind that this is what's going to happen. And I think, too, we've got a little support out of the fact that the German court authorized the German government to go ahead and really do what they need to do to get this Eurozone under control. That was a big question as to whether that was going to happen, and it did happen. So those are good things. Those are all very supportive for us.
That's a good thing. On the outside markets, the European Union looks like it might be in better shape, I suppose, than some had thought it might be by the time we get to this fall.
Well, I sure hope so, because I tell you, their unemployment is disgusting. You know, when you look at unemployment in Greece at 25.1% and people under the age of 25, 52.9%, you know, Spain, 23.1%, under the age of 25, 53.8%. Those are really bad, bad numbers, especially for young people. And so the whole union itself is at 11.3%, but that's still up 1.2 from last year. Something's got to give. You know, you can't just keep taking money and not expecting to have to pay it back at some point in time and not expecting to have to sacrifice anything.
I know you keep your pulse, your hand on the pulse of the global economy. China has been importing soybeans at a rapid pace. In fact, the USDA numbers, 60% of what we expect to market for the year had been gone by the time we got to the beginning of the marketing year. Any concerns with China? Will they continue to import soybeans?
I think they'll continue to import soybeans. That's why I think we saw the USDA actually raise it. But you know, there's something really interesting going on with China, and that is that they're coming up in this next year on a once-a-decade leadership transition. And, you know, the Communist Party would like to stay in control. So I think what we'll probably see is some stimulation of their economy either toward the end of this year or the beginning of next year, which will only make it more likely that China will continue to take beans, because the Communist Party certainly doesn't want to go into this transition with a low growth record and a really poor stock record. So I think that ultimately, you know, the trade itself right now is concerned about that because we see their slowing economy, but I do think we've got a reason to believe it's going to come back and that they're going to keep on taking beans from us.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. That's Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Wednesday, USDA Report Day. This morning, Daryl Good penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website in which he said it may very well be that the price of corn has peaked. I asked him earlier today whether that was really the case or not.
You know, I think probably new crop corn prices have peaked for at least for now and perhaps for the marketing year. We have to remember that we're still looking at forecasts on crop size, and those numbers can change as we move forward. But the combination of a crop of around 10.7 billion bushels and indications that consumption is slowing down quite a bit suggests that we probably have seen the high in the market. I don't think it's probably useful to get too bearish at this point moving forward. I think there's two issues on the corn balance sheet. One, my opinion is that the production number will get a bit smaller moving forward. I think we will see the estimate of harvested acres come down a bit and perhaps the yield number come down a bit as well. And I also of the opinion that perhaps ethanol demand is stronger than depicted in the balance sheet, which shows a 10% decline in year-over-year use of corn for ethanol. I think we'll probably be a bit stronger than that, perhaps a couple 300 million bushels. So the balance sheet, I think, will end up tighter than what it appears right now. But again, given that prices are 70 cents off their high, I'm not optimistic that we're going to come back and put new highs in the market.
Will the balance sheet change very much at the end of this month when USDA releases another update at the marketplace?
Well, we'll get the old crop inventory number. So what can change on the balance sheet is the level of beginning stocks for the 2012 marketing year. We've been surprised by those reports in the past, and so there is room for some minor change, but it'll really be the October crop production report that has the possibility for bigger changes.
So the quarterly grain stocks report is due out at the end of the month, and then the October crop production report, which includes an updated FSA set of acreage figures.
They do incorporate what the FSA has to say about planted acres for those producers participating in the government programs. Obviously, that's just one piece of input into their acreage number. They rely most heavily on their own surveys for actual planted acres. And most important in this report is going to be harvested acres. And, of course, that's not in the FSA data set. It's planted acres only.
And the October numbers are usually pretty close to the final numbers when they're released in January?
Historically, the margin of error has been pretty small for the October report, and gets even smaller for the November report. And given the relatively early harvest this year, we would anticipate a pretty accurate number in October.
Is it your opinion that the soybean market is tighter in the supply and demand balance sheet than the corn market?
No question about it. The crop is much smaller on soybeans. We're looking at an average yield of only 35.3 bushels. A crop just over 2.6 billion. This follows a very small crop in South America. Unlike corn, we really have not seen the kind of slowdown in consumption that's needed. Based on the current forecast of crop size, we need to cut consumption close to 500 million bushels during the year ahead, and that's going to have to be split between the domestic crush and exports. And at this juncture, we really have not made that kind of adjustment in consumption. So I think we have a bit more rationing to do. And so I'm a little more optimistic that soybean prices will stay very strong probably into October until we see one of two things, either a larger crop number in October or some confirmation that consumption is slowing. But absent either one of those, soybean prices are going to have to stay, I think, very, very strong.
And the export market for soybeans have been on a blazingly fast pace.
They have, and as we saw today and as we have seen in the weekly numbers, exports for the marketing year that just ended in August came in a little stronger than forecast, 10 million bushels. And new crop sales have been very robust, and we're picking up the benefit of the small South American supplies. And so the expectation that South America will rebound next year is really going to be important. We're going to depend heavily on a very large South American harvest to kind of make current small supplies stretch through the calendar year 2013.
Now, on the subject of the export market, better come back to the corn very quickly, because USDA says this will be the smallest export for corn in decades.
Yeah, I took a quick look. Looked like the smallest number in 27 years, perhaps, for corn exports. The question is demand really that weak? What is the market using in place of U.S. corn for the year ahead? We're going to be limited to some extent by available supplies, but there is a potential that corn exports could be a bit stronger than currently forecast. We're really not seeing it in the sales yet. Sales are really anemic, and I think we would want to see some better sales before we say the number is really too low.
Prior to the September crop production report, you were of a mind that it was time to wait for that report to decide whether you were going to make mini sales for corn and soybeans across the scale as a producer. Have you come to a decision?
Well, I think, you know, what we've been saying is the price structure really does not favor storage of either crop, and the price levels that we've been looking at, you know, $17 beans plus $8 corn, I think we've been of the mind that moving a lot of the crop right out of the field was the best way to go. And I don't think there's really anything in this report that changes that. I think we may have really a little more time on soybeans than on corn, but again, you'd have to speculate on a higher price level rather than being rewarded by the carry in the market.
Speaking of rewarding and speculation, would you want to own either of those again on paper?
You know, if I've made sales, I don't tend to second guess and want to re-own. That really opens the opportunity for making two mistakes rather than one. So I think just make the sales at these high prices and go on to next year.
That's University of Illinois ag economist Darryl Good. I spoke with him earlier this morning. You can see and watch that interview on our website if you'd like a bit later today. It'll be posted at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check the cash grain market now for Wednesday afternoon. Tara Oliver of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Logansport, Indiana, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. Good. Much in the way of corn harvest there yet?
Yes, actually, this week has been a big week for us, and we've really started to see quite a few guys get out and try and run some corn, and actually today really seemed to pick up for bean harvest as well in our area.
Can you tell me whether they're making the sales across the scale or not?
Yeah, we are seeing, you know, a lot of guys obviously are trying to fill contracts that they have first just because of the concern over yield, but we definitely have seen some of the cash numbers increase over the past couple days as we really get out in the field.
As you started to get more corn and soybeans in, has your basis level slipped?
Yep, we have slipped. We honestly had some early premiums here, especially at the ethanol plant, for some corn. And just with the volume that we've been seeing coming across the scale, we've slowly slipped on basis and kind of taken a pretty large jump lower here over the past day.
Your counterpart here in Champaign County was offering some discounts on drying a bit earlier. Have you done that?
We certainly have. We had discounts this week and part of last week at both facilities, Delphi and Climbers here. We were doing, you know, something in the sorts of a penny a point up to a certain level. Both of those have expired as of today. We've seen kind of our fair share of wet corn, and now we're just kind of hoping things dry down in the field a little bit more before we see, you know, heavy movement of any sort of wet amounts again.
And what do your yields look like for both corn and soybeans at this time?
You know, early yields seem to be a little bit disappointing, especially on the beans. It just seems like some of the early maturity and early planted fields obviously haven't done too well. We did have some hail damage issues in this area, too, which those beans came off first and, you know, posed some quality issues as well. So I think we have a lot of hope for the soybean yields. We're just kind of not quite into some of that best ground yet. On the corn, you know, you hear everything from 10 bushels to the acre all the way up almost to 200 on irrigated ground that caught some good rain. So, I mean, it's just going to be all over the board. But on average, I'd say of everybody we talk to and everything we hear in this area, about 100 bushels to the acre seems to be normal.
All right, Tara, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Tara Oliver is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Logansport, Indiana. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
It's National Chocolate Milkshake Day. The first milkshakes were alcoholic whiskey drinks. It was not until the turn of the 20th century that the term referred to wholesome drinks made with vanilla, strawberry, or chocolate syrups. By the way, the use of malted milk powder in milkshakes was made famous by Chicago drugstore chain employee Pop Colson. The malted milk became the chain's most popular soda fountain drink. On this day in agricultural history in 1818, Richard Jordan Gatling was born. Before inventing the Gatling gun, he developed a machine for sowing rice, wheat, and other grains, and he also invented a steam plow. In 1910, Alexander Langmuir was born. He is credited with creation of the U.S. Epidemic Intelligence Service. His work contributed to the virtual elimination of polio in the U.S. and a better understanding of other infectious diseases. And in 1958, Jack Kirby demonstrated his invention of a miniaturized electric circuit to his Texas Instruments supervisors. Early the following year, Kirby would apply for a patent for what would become the world's first integrated circuit. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the forecast for here in the Midwest first.
Well, it certainly looks as though we're on the cusp of an autumn change here. A little more taste of what's supposed to happen in September. We're done with all these weeks of hot weather. It looks like we're going to go the other side of the coin for a little while here, looking at much cooler temperatures coming up as we move forward through the next full week to 10 days. A succession of two, maybe three cold air shots coming out of Canada. By the time we get to this point next week, we ought to be looking at below average temperatures across the heart of the Midwest, with a good chance for frost and freezes occurring unusually far to the south for this time of the year. In other words, earlier than usual frost and freeze potentials will exist, bringing us some hard freezes maybe down to portions of Iowa and Nebraska, maybe even northwestern Illinois during the latter part of next week. We'll keep a close eye on that. It might happen a little bit sooner than that in some cases, but like I said, there's two or three surges of cold here that we'll be dealing with. And most likely the models aren't quite on target yet as to which days will be coldest. But anyway, as each one of the fronts come through, we'll likely see a little bit of a shower activity coming with them. The first round of precipitation will be passing through the Midwest as we go forward through the day, actually later today, and then on into the day on Thursday. And Friday will be the point when we see this frontal system and the precipitation exit out of parts of Ohio and in Kentucky. So most of the Midwest will see rain at one time or another. A couple tenths to three quarters of an inch will occur most often, and there may be one or two locations that get a little bit better rain than that. Some of the hard red winter wheat country may actually do relatively well with this event, maybe helping to improve planting conditions out there.
Round two comes when?
Round two will likely evolve as we get into Sunday and Monday of next week. And a new cool front will drop in at that point in time. It will bring in a very limited amount of precipitation because the first front will have already cleared the air of moisture. So we'll get a few showers, maybe a couple of tenths of an inch of moisture. But it will pass through a big part of the region Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week and probably set us up for the coldest weather from that event, probably occurring around Tuesday and Wednesday mornings in the western Corn Belt. And then the third surge of cold will start to debut in the upper Midwest probably on Wednesday or Thursday of next week, moving across the eastern Midwest Thursday or Friday. Now, that's a long way out in the forecast, obviously, but I think there's some similarities to this pattern to what occurred back in mid-August, and there's a lot of support for this. In mid-August, we saw low temperatures as cold as 44 degrees down to St. Joseph, Missouri, and saw upper 30s in northwestern Iowa. Now, that's mid-August. August 16th and 17th was when that occurred last, and we're a lot colder, a lot further into the cool season now than we were then, so it should be fairly interesting over the next 10 days.
So we'll step down in temperature with each of the passing of those fronts. On the first one, did it move up more quickly into the system, into the calendar dates than had expected? I was thinking that was coming a bit later in the week rather than today and tomorrow.
Well, I think that the system that's coming through here today and tomorrow is just the first in the series of cooler air masses coming on. The one that you're probably thinking of that has the most potency of bringing frost and freezes into the U.S. is the one that occurs Sunday into Tuesday of next week. It hasn't necessarily been moved up, but we have to have this first system come through in order to allow the other two to do what they're supposed to do.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.